Welcome back to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. This is your host, Amos Medford. Thanks for listening to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast today, the family-friendly hunting podcast where you don't have to be a professional. You can even be a wannabe, just like me. We appreciate you tuning in today, and it's an exciting day. Saturday, deer season opened in South Florida, July 30th. Archery season down there in Zone A, so saw some cool pictures already come in of some good bucks taken down there, so that's pretty awesome. It's crazy to think about, but anyway, we're excited about today's episode with Austin Stone of the Tactical Approach Outdoors. Austin has not tried his hand at Florida hunting yet, but we talked about him getting down here and giving it a try, so we'll see what happens with that. But he has taken out some great bucks up in the Midwest, and so he's definitely had the opportunity to hunt some big bucks up there and have some success doing it. So he's kind of passing along some knowledge, some ideas, some tactical things that he uses in his approach, and it's pretty cool. Definitely something that's awesome if you're a newer hunter, but even if you're not, there's definitely something to learn every single time. So we appreciate Austin joining us today. I do want to say thank you to this episode's sponsor, Anabolic Grow. I was literally using some seed coat this weekend, getting some seed in the ground, kind of in a little backwoods plot type deal, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with that one and how it helps me maximize what we've got going on there. But whether you're doing a half acre kind of back in the woods, or you've got acres as far as the eye can see, Anabolic Grow can help you maximize your efforts as you put in some food plots to try to help the wildlife on your property. So definitely check them out. You can use code WannabeHunting10 at checkout to save a few bucks, so definitely appreciate that. If you're interested in what their product does and more info there, of course it's on the website, but you can check out episode 26 right here on the Wannabe Hunting Podcast. I was able to be joined by Mr. Todd Karen, and he explained a lot of the technology and the interesting stuff that goes into it from a scientific perspective and how it works, and stuff that's definitely above my pay grade, but it means that it helps what you plant do better. So check them out. We appreciate them sponsoring the show. Without further ado, let's jump into this one with Austin Stone of the Tactical Approach Outdoors. I'm enjoying following along with what you've got going on, and you know, if I don't do the full course, do one of the shortened courses.
Yeah.
That you've got available. Kind of check out some stuff. I really want to follow on kind of like field dressing and that type of thing. That's one of my weak spots.
Yeah. So, yeah, I hear you.
That's a spot I'd love to dive into.
Absolutely, dude. You know, I know what kind of my plan right now is the field dressing and the blood trailing. I want to redo those early in the season and actually show it as it's happening field. You know what I mean? So it's like, cool. I kind of want to redo that video, just those videos a little bit, and actually show them in the process, you know, happening. So I'm kind of putting some plans together. So like super early season, you know, September, at some point I can get out and, you know, go shoot a doe or something real early and, you know, make those videos a little bit where you actually see it happening. You can a little bit more of a visual learning experience there.
Yeah. That would be pretty awesome. Kind of do it semi-live.
That's yeah. Cool. And, you know, I'm a visual learner. So I understand the importance of actually seeing it done and not just like,
oh yeah,
hearing it talked through.
Oh yeah. I've been super fortunate to have a couple people walk me through the process on my first two deer.
Yeah.
And But I found I came to the end of both of them, and they were saying, hey, cut here. Hey, do this, pull this. And I found that I came to the end in both cases, and I'm like, I'm not really sure what I just did. I did it. But I had to do it again without them over my shoulder. I am not sure I could replicate that process.
Yeah, I hear you. And that's what's cool, too, about this course is that you can access it, you know, on your phone. So mm-hmm. it's like if something, you know, if you had service, at least just look up the course there and just kind of watch it. And that's another reason I wanted to do it, like, in the field, you know, while it's happening. That would be a full visual of what's going on that you could kind of just refer back to and you know, help you go through the process.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I am going to cut a little of our first bit of chit chat, but we've kind of already jumped into, you know, some of the topics we're going to get to. So I'm going to kind of backtrack, man, and let everybody know that I'm being joined by Austin Stone of the Tactical Approach Outdoors. He's got a very detailed deer hunting course, and he has some pretty awesome bucks on the wall to give him some credibility as far as getting it done in the field. So, Austin, welcome to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast, man.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome, buddy. And I appreciate you you joining me. Now, you are somewhere up in the Midwest, man. Where you at?
Yeah, I'm in Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. I've talked to some good people from the state of Kansas. So,
right. Yeah. No, I like it up here.
Cool. I'm going to get up there and hunt Kansas one of these days, you know, the land of the giants.
Oh yeah. That'd be awesome. I just drew my first Kansas, so I'm pretty stoked.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And Missouri has some good stuff going on as well. I've heard there are certain areas that you can get into, you know, some big bucks.
There's some giants up here. There's no doubt about that. it gets hunted hard, but man, there are some big deer.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, hey, I want to give you an opportunity just to introduce yourself, kind of, you know, what you've got going on, maybe where hunting started for you and where it's brought you to today, man.
Sounds good, man. Well, my name Stone. I am from Kansas City, Missouri. I am the owner of Tactical Approach Outdoors. And, you know, I'm working full time as a personal fitness trainer, and I'm building Tactical Approach kind of on the side here as a dream, and hopefully one day, you know, let it take off a little bit. My dad got me started hunting young. I started carrying my own gun at 10 years old. Shot my first deer at 11, and you know, that just sucked me in, and I was pumped from the start. And you know, hunting for the years has been meat oriented. You know, you didn't necessarily see a lot of deer, but you know, the first legal deer, you tried to get a shot on it, you at least take one deer home and put some meat in the freezer through the years. And mm-hmm. you know, as times progressed and my skill levels progressed. Also, I've tried to hold out a little bit longer for a little bit nicer deer. And, you know, when I was, I shot my first mountable buck with my bow, and that really kind of sealed the deal for me with a little bit more mature animals, man. You wrap your hands around a set of horns. It just feels a little different. So,
oh yeah, it's a different feeling.
It is, dude. It is. So it's just, you know, I started bow hunting when I was about 3 years after I started gun hunting, and my entire career has been focused around public land, Missouri, and just trying to get it done on these pressured deer. And I think the last 5 or 6 years, I've actually started branching out to out-of-state hunts. Did a lot of hunting in South Dakota through the years, shot some big deer out there. Last year, I was a first year hunting Iowa and hunting Kentucky, so two new states, and I ended up shooting a nice deer on a canoe hunt in Iowa, so that was a lot of fun.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome, man. That kind of goes into the question I had about your, you know, progression, you know, through your hunting career, if you want to call it that. But, you know, reps are important, you know. You gotta go out there and see something, and then you gotta shoot something to begin with, you know, something legal. And then, you know, it grows from there.
It does. And, you know, your progression in your hunting career is somebody else's. So, you know, I'm a very goal driven guy. And, you know, I talk a lot about goals on videos and setting realistic goals. And, you know, at one point, you know, a little basket rack 7-point was like the goal for me. Like, that's like the ultimate goal for me, that you know, that 2-2.5 year old deer. And then, you know, time has just progressed. Your career changes and progresses, so you set goals accordingly, and you just kind of go from there, and you keep tweaking your setups, you're tweaking your skill level, and just getting better and understanding the deer more, and it just progresses from there.
Yeah, no doubt. My biggest goal by far last year was to shoot a legal buck, and finally got it done. So super happy about that.
That's awesome, dude.
And then this year it's 2 deer and a legal deer with a bow. So that's
there you go. Yeah,
that's where I'm at. But you know, I'm all for the big buck if he comes out. That's for sure.
Oh, absolutely, right? Absolutely. If he slips up, you're on him.
Exactly. But no, that's cool, man. Hey, you mentioned your first mountable buck, you know, whatever, quote unquote, with your bow at 19. What bow was that? Do you remember? You remember like your bow and arrow or broadhead, anything about your setup?
I'm still shooting it now.
Wow.
It's the Matthews Adrenaline is what I'm shooting right now. So it's a little bit older model, but I started shooting that bow, I think 14 or 15. I had a Martin as my dad got me. And then I got this, Matthews Adrenaline, and I've been shooting this exact same bow. And I'm probably, 15 years into shooting this bow.
Wow.
So I shot it with that. I hadn't moved to Rage broadheads yet. It was those regular expandable 3 blades, you know, that expand from the front. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name of those things, but yeah, that's what I was shooting my very first buck there.
Okay, very cool. That's the epitome of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, I love it.
Exactly, dude. And that's the way I think too. You know, it'd be sweet to, man, this is my bow. You know what I mean?
Well, it sounds like for you. I mean, you know,
it is.
You know, I don't know if you've been shooting it about 14, 15 years, and you killed some of your biggest deer ever last season with it or whatever. You know, yeah, sure, you can get a new one with a pound or two lighter, but sounds like it's working out okay.
it's doing just fine, man. It's care of your stuff, and it'll last.
That's awesome, man. God bless the bow manufacturers, and you know, Matthews is that right there at the top. They can put together some marketing that will make you add something to your cart real quick, and then think about it and all that good stuff. So.
Absolutely. How's that to make it work?
Yeah, exactly. But that's pretty good testament to, you know, to their product though, that you're literally using a 15-year-old bow. I mean,
yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, that just shows you too, you don't have to spend a bunch of money to get started. You know, I looked on eBay out of curiosity not long ago, and you can literally buy this exact Matthews Adrenaline for maybe a couple $100 just as a bare bow, and basically brand new. I actually have a second one in my closet, new, never shot. I bought it for like $250, and just kind of as my backup bow, just in case this one happened. But it's the exact same model, man.
That's cool. No, I'm gonna go Google that bow as soon as we're done.
Check it out. It just shows you don't have to spend a bunch of money to do this.
Yeah, for sure. Just out of curiosity, that far back, does it have like a mod system or something with draw length and weight and all that? How does that work? I'm just kind of curious.
So Matthews ran those single cams, and basically you have to buy a bow that fits your draw length. You can't change the draw length on those single cams. You actually have to change the cam out.
Okay.
So this one, I think I got a 9-inch draw length, so it's set at 29, and I can't adjust that. I can adjust the poundage on it, but the draw length. So that's the only catch. If you do buy a single cam, make sure you're buying your correct draw length.
Yeah, no, that's a good point too. And you know, it differs a little bow to bow, so that could kind of be an interesting thing depending on what you've shot over the years, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you kind of going a little deeper into that than that wasn't in the notes, but hey, it's good stuff.
No problem.
I wanted you to give like kind of a high level view, like an overview of your scouting process. And the reason I wanted to ask you that is, you know, you've mentioned doing a lot of public land there in Missouri, and that you've branched out. You had success in Iowa last year, went to Kentucky. Over the years, you've been to South Dakota. You know, you're putting in for whatever. Kind of how does that work? You know, are you, what kind of, map scouting? Sometimes or always get a preseason trip in and hang cameras? You know, kind of what's the, you know, like a general or normal scenario for you when it comes to scouting, say a new place or out of state place?
Yeah. So I always start with e-scouting. I've ran Onyx, you know, for years, and I will spend days, weeks just looking at the map. I'm going to use Iowa for an example. When I was first looking at this trip, you know, I've been putting in for Iowa. The time's coming that I can actually draw that tag. I was looking for a place that had a lot of public ground, fairly close proximity to it, to each other. That way I could go up there. I had a lot of options and cover ground. So I'm looking for places that possibly have special regulations. That doesn't always happen, but that's a possibility. Somewhat difficult to hunt. Either it's thick, extremely steep, you've got some water access, and just kind of different, difficult to hunt property, but also the property has to have deer habitat and plenty food. If the food's not there, the bucks aren't going to really grow. So it's kind of a catch to it. It's like you have to have that, you don't have to have crops, but it's nice. I like to find some crops. I like to find a lot of diversity in the habitat, a lot of edges, and I like to find some possible good bedding areas that are kind of difficult to get to. And that's kind of where I'll start, you know, and I'll look at the maps, try to find those as best I can. And I'm just going to start making waypoints. I'll put 4 or 5 properties together. I want to check that are somewhat close. And that's what I did, is I put 4 or 5 properties together in Iowa that were about 30 to 40 apart from each other. And I had my number one property that I wanted to check out, that I thought was going to be the best, down from there. And that's where we started. And it ended up being the property that I hunted, because there is a lot of water access. It was kind of difficult to get to. And if you could get to it, if you weren't using the river, honestly, you're kind of messing up your hunt. If you had a lot of ground to walk through, and if you were trying to walk to that particular location, you were giving up a lot of your giving yourself up and possibly spooking out the deer that you're going to possibly be hunting.
Right.
So there's food available. You know, I like doing my postseason scouting as much as I can. So we went up there, made a trip. I think we are a 4-day trip up there and just covered ground. We kind of did some speed scouting, figured out a couple properties. Like, no, we definitely don't need to worry about these. There wasn't the sign there. And then this property that I ended up being on, there is a significant difference in sign density, you know, massive rubs, massive scrapes, and you could just tell the deer were there. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, this is where I need to focus on and then go from there. And I wasn't able to run cameras early like I wanted to. I would have preferred to have gotten up there about a month and a half before I made my trip, set cams, let them soak. And then when I got there, I could spend the first day checking all those cams and scouting. And then I can choose my location from there. And since I wasn't able to run cameras, all I had to do was speed scouting trip and figure out what sign was fresh. And since it was earlier, kind of that middle of October time, the scrapes were still just getting started. So I took what I knew from my postseason scouting. I kind of knew where the deer tended to congregate and where the bigger scrapes were. So I went directly to those spots and I just basically kind of walked and found the fresh sign and open except for this one particular area. I wasn't finding anything. And then when I got back to this corner where I ended up hunting, man, there was like, and you know, half of them were the size of a car hood.
Mm.
And that obviously being used a lot. So that I was like, okay, here it is. And I found that, you know, first day, since I knew where they were at, I could just go to them, found it, you know, went back, got my canoe, went back further downstream, set up my stand and then just hunted it. And just kind of waited for things to happen.
Right.
So I definitely start with my east, and I just make notes and I find possible funnels, pinch points, you know, terrain features that are converging, and you know, saddles are awesome. Multiple points converging down into the bottoms; those are fantastic. You know, on hilly areas, you know, real ridgy areas. And then I'm just going to go and see what's fresh. You know, if the deer are there, I'll find then I'll just move on, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's pretty good. You know, obviously that's good information. I think, you know, the e-scouting thing is no longer the new cool thing because it's like part of everybody's process to an extent.
It is, yeah.
But yeah, you know, I like how you pointed out trying to find somewhere that's hard to hunt. you know, if you want less people there with you and maybe a better chance of more mature buck, then you know, there's one way to go about it right there.
And you know, kind of the thought process that I take, you know, not only with my scouting but my hunting, is that there's a reason that the deer are there. And the reason is because people are not. So, you know, you think about that when trying to locate where the people are not. And then for you approaching it for your hunting, don't be that messes it up. You know what right. I mean? That's kind of the approach that I take through my hunting is that, I mean, there's a reason the deer are there and it's not because people are there.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's like, and then, like you said, once you find that spot, okay, this is a great spot, then don't be that person. That's the people.
You're right. I mean, don't be that person. That's the people.
You can scare a deer off just as good as anybody else. So.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you kind of going through that. You know, I have not done – I'm down here in Florida, and I have not done a lot of public land hunting, and I have not done a lot of out-of-state hunting.
Yeah.
But I'm looking to expand in both of those areas. So definitely cool to see kind of some ideas and things to look for. Not a ton of ridges around here, but there's still transition areas. There's still drop-offs. They might not be as steep or whatever, but there's still changes in terrain. So it's good stuff to look for.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, cool. I've been looking at public land debt down there. It's on my map.
Yeah, they have swamps all over the places. I hear people talking about, you know, Michigan swamps and whatever else in the country, but I'm not sure if it's the same as what we have down here or not, because it's pretty wild down there.
Pretty wild. I can imagine, man. You got a little different critters down there too.
Yeah, and I'm up in North Florida, but the farther south you get, the wilder it gets. So
yeah.
But I'm definitely going to be adventuring out a little bit more as we go along. So I'm excited about it.
Awesome, dude.
Yeah, and you know, we mentioned your course, you know, right at the beginning, and a lot of these questions are kind of either, you know, hinting toward that, or you know, things that are gonna, you know, you go into in the course. You know, I don't even remember the module names and stuff, but I know you talk about scouting and things like that. But you know, what's kind of some issues, or you know, maybe things that you see possibly holding back like newer hunters? Because I'm guessing that's some of the motivation for you making the course to begin with. But you know, there's information out there, right?
Yeah.
But kind of having it put together and like in sync and everything, you know, might be a different ball game than watching 30 different videos on YouTube that tell you 30 different ways to do, you know, something.
Absolutely.
More confused than when you started.
Yeah. And I mean, that's about, you know, where we are with the digital age, is that we have so much information available, you know, compared to even, you know, when I had, you had books, you had monster books, you know, the VHS tapes, and you had, you know, but so much of it was tailored to, you know, private land guys, and public land, you know, was thought of deer. You kind of had to just be lucky, and it was hard to weed through information. That's where it's cool that so much is available now, but you run into issues of you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And there could be one topic that you don't know of yet, that, you know, I've talked to a lot of guys that have been a lot like this, that there's been one topic that I've mentioned. I'd even think about that, and that could be the missing link. You know, deer, especially deer, they're so sensitive that if you do, there could be this one topic that you're missing, this one link in your process that you're missing, actually could totally set your success rates, just let them skyrocket, you know, to a new level. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's what to create something that had all of that, what you needed to know, all the important stuff, all the basics, that, and then got up into a little bit more advanced topics and how I approach things, but all of the topics you actually need to know in the course, you know, because there's a lot of fluff out there. There's a lot of stuff that, in all honesty, you have to know to be successful, especially if you're hunting a public land, or you're not managing your property. You're just hunting the property as it is, and you're just a real world hunter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And because I wanted to create something that had all those topics in one place, I give you what I know about it and help you through. And then what would you topics now, and then do your own research past that into that topic, which is exactly what I've done. You mm-hmm. know, I listened to four guys talking about the exact same topic, and I kind of figure out, you know, what will work for my style and who I am and my personal hunting availability. Mm-hmm. And then kind of perfect my own system. And the trick that there, you find the pattern in what these people are saying, because there's always going to be somewhat of a pattern. There's a couple key points that each one of them will talk about, and those, and then they go into their own system. And that's kind of what I wanted. Is I wanted to make sure I touched on the those key points that make you successful, and then you can take that information, research beyond it, and then figure out your and perfect your own system. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And I like that approach. And just to clarify what I was saying earlier, YouTube is awesome. And everything I do, I go check YouTube first.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
You know, I would have never fletched my own arrows if I hadn't watched some YouTube videos, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I like what you're saying. You know, it's kind of a comprehensive overview.
Yep.
But it does get detailed to what your experience has proven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it still leaves room for personal experience, additional research, you know.
100%. Yeah.
Different region of the country, you know, like you were talking about earlier.
Absolutely.
All that plays in.
And, you know, there's not one way to skin a cat, you know. So, you know, I wanted to create something that was extremely detailed and something you could follow to the T, but also very general and basic that you could take knowledge and take it to different regions of the country and different, you know, skill levels and something that really kind of progress. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And this is all fascinating to me because I'm pretty new to hunting. So like anything that's really focused on learning more about it, you know, and that's kind of where the idea for the podcast came from, you know, is definitely jumps out to me. And I've watched some of your YouTube stuff and, you know, I'd encourage everybody else to check that out, because just like with everything else, there's a lot of good free information out there, you know,
yes.
beyond the course that's available for purchase, which is awesome and everything. But, you know, there's definitely info that you're putting out, you know, free of charge for any. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, before we kind of got into everything, we were chatting a little bit and our schedules have been crazy. There's the time zone difference. There's the crazy life stuff that I've got going on at the moment. So I hate to cut you short, but you mind just kind of giving a word about the course and where folks can find it and where everybody can kind of follow along with what you've got going?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on any of my social networks. Tactical Approach Outdoors, you know, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. I use those three predominantly, but I also have Facebook as well. The course is tacticalapproachoutdoors.com, and I call this Deer Hunter Academy. So I've got a few other consulting services at Tactical Approach Outdoors, and Deer Hunter Academy has not only the full access course, but it has mentoring available. And, you know, I really want a very hands-on experience and do my part to help anybody and everybody, you know, not only get into deer hunting, but see success in a real world scenario and just really do my part in creating a positive experience in the woods and a successful experience. And this course, it covers 23 different topics. It is 40 videos long and it's over 5 hours of educational material. It's a pretty large course, and I'll only be adding to it as the years go on.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And I know a lot of work goes into that, from the filming to the editing and laying things out and getting it all formatted. So that's pretty awesome. And I would definitely encourage anyone, especially a newer hunter or somebody who needs to brush up on some stuff, to check out what you have on tacticalapproachoutdoors.com. And you can see, like you said, some other services and things that are available.
Heck yeah, man. Yeah. And I'll be, you know, right now I'm running this launch sale for you know, 22% off on those on the Deer Hunter Academy. HA22 is that code. And, you know, as season gets closer, I'm going to run a bigger sale. And when I go for that show and gets closer, there'll be more coming up. So I want to make it available for any advantage of.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time today, and we'll have to do it again sometime.
That sounds like I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much once again for tuning in to the Wannabe Hunting Podcast, the family-friendly hunting podcast show. We appreciate you joining us today, and if you're like me, you are heading to work here shortly or already there, maybe on the road, heading to some sales calls, heading to a job site, whatever you might be doing, but you kind of want to be hunting. You're thinking about those cooler days coming this fall. It's pretty warm out here in Florida, North Florida, but it's still pretty warm, so we're looking forward to some cooler days and getting out deer hunting. That's probably the season I look forward to most. Love turkey hunting. Looking forward to doing some more duck hunting this year for sure. But and deer hunting is exciting, and it is upon us as we start the month of August. I know in my zone, we start in the middle of September, so the countdown is on. And hope you get a chance to shoot your bow today, this week. Sight it in, tune it up, build a couple arrows, sight in the gun, whatever you got going on. Put in a food plot, check on a food plot, check some cameras, put out some cameras, something that's helping you get ready for deer season. So I hope it goes well for you this week, and I appreciate you stopping by and tuning in. Big thanks once again to Austin Stone for joining me today. Really enjoyed that, and he is going to join us as the season goes on, and we'll talk about more of what he's got going on with his course and just kind of update my season and his season and see how we're doing. So that's going to be fun, and I appreciate him doing that. And thanks also to Anabolic Grow, great folks over there and a great product. You can check out their stuff, and really appreciate them. And thank y'all once again for listening. As always, honor God, work hard, have fun, and keep hunting.